of you here in the room and all of you at home. I'm glad that you were able to join us for worship this morning. And it's so true. Miracles happen in so many different places and spaces, and so many times that our eyes are not even open to the good things that God is doing around us. And so there are times in my life, and perhaps in yours, where you've had an opportunity to slow down, stop for a moment, and reflect, to think about what God has done, what God is doing. And that space is a gift, because when we are able to live in gratitude for the things that God is doing in our life, it really helps some of the scales to fall off, where we think, God, where are you? When we're grateful and acknowledging when we do see God, then in the future it can help our eyes to really be able to see the places and spaces that He is longing to speak into our lives in powerful ways. But let's pray together. Oh God, we give you thanks for this day. We thank you that you are here with us in this place. I ask that you would be present with us this day, that we would come before you and that we would be able to hear your word. I ask that you would speak through me and that the words that you want people to hear would stick and those things that are not of you would fall away. God, thank you for the opportunity we will have to gather around the table to break bread and to give thanks for your Son, Jesus Christ, for his love for us, for his sacrifice, that we might be able to live eternally. God, help us to live into that, knowing that it's not something that we can earn, but living into it in such a way that others may come to know your love and grace in their lives. God, we also pray this morning for people all around the world in need, people who are hurting, people who are in pain. God, you know each of those circumstances, and there are people out there, God, brothers and sisters in Christ, like ourselves, that we hope will step into those places. God, help us to be brothers and sisters in Christ here in our own communities, where we step into those places where we have friends who are in need. Help us to be people that love others, to love Jesus Christ. We ask and pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good morning. It is great to be with you, and it is great to see many faces as well. Glad to be able to gather and worship together, and it's just a great morning to be able to give thanks to God for that. I'm curious, when you look back, if you can remember getting your first puppy, perhaps. Anybody ever have a puppy or a kitten? Fish don't really count in this example. Because fish, you get to leave in the tank and you don't have to tend to nonstop. But if you've ever had a puppy, or a kitten for that matter, you know you have to watch them like a hawk. You're just following them around. What are they doing? Trying to keep them out of trouble. And inevitably, at some point, you say to yourself, what were we thinking? This was a great idea when we were there for 15 minutes, and now this is nonstop responsibility. But you can remember how small they were. You can remember the beginnings. You can remember all of those things, even if you're at the point where your dog is really old and you come home and it kind of lifts its head and looks at you like, you have a treat for me? Then I'll get up. Otherwise, I'm going to stay here. But it's fun to look back at the beginnings of something. And in Acts chapter 2 today, we're looking back at the beginning of the life of the church and the explosion of people growing in their faith and wanting others to know about the good news of Jesus Christ in their lives. And I think we have so much to learn from this community and the joy that they had, the excitement that they had, and also to know that this was the very beginning, perhaps before they hit many speed bumps that are there. Well, I want you to think about the car that you drive. Maybe you didn't get it when it was brand new, but at some point, that car that you drive was brand new, rolled off the assembly line, no air fresheners required, new car scent, came with the vehicle for free. They actually may have charged you for it, but came with the vehicle. It had its first day when it was perfect. And when we think about the beginning of the church, it had its first day as well, where there was joy and there was excitement. And today we get to take a look into that, because we are going to see Luke, the author here in Acts, recalling this time with great affection in the early church. And it allows us a moment in time when a perfect fellowship was fully alive, at least as is recalled by Luke here in our section of scripture. It is fully alive and perfect. And in so doing, he's holding out the hope that it can happen again. Well, to recap a little bit, last week, Pastor Matt was preaching about Pentecost and Peter sharing with the group that they are not drunk, as you may think. They're speaking in all of these different tongues and different languages, and people were so excited about what was going on in the life of the church, and they were convicted, and many people came to faith. It says 3,000 were added to their number that day. And so we see that the Spirit is alive and well in the early church, and we get a snapshot of what the early church was like. So in our series, Then What Happened, we find ourselves in Acts chapter 2. That's A-C-T-S, not A-X, chapter 2. And hear these words, verses 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to one another, to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple court. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. God, thank you for your word. Help to open our eyes to see the places and spaces that you long for us to be made aware of in our own lives, of where you want us to step in. We ask and pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. So taking a look back at this passage, there is so much there that is very exciting to think about the birth of the early church. And as Luke looks back, he says, in speaking about the apostles, the importance of the apostles' teaching, the importance of fellowship, the importance of breaking bread and prayer. These are four intentional pieces that he wanted to make sure were not missed as he is communicating and sharing about this early church. There was a hunger for God's word. And the question is, what was being taught? They didn't have the New Testament. They were living the New Testament. They were living that out in their lives. And so you have to wonder, what were the stories that were shared? What were the things that they were recalling? What were the parables that they were teaching one another? And there's times in our lives where this can happen for us too, in our faith and walk with Christ, where you may not have a Bible with you, and yet if someone said to you, tell me three stories from the New Testament, you would all of a sudden have to think, well, if I'm only able to pick three stories, what am I gonna share? What do I wanna share with them that's going to illuminate the picture of God's love for them, of Christ's sacrifice for us? It becomes a little more challenging to do that, but when you think about how Christ lived out his life, he was constantly speaking in parables that would draw people in to what was happening within the context of where they were, and that their eyes would be opened to the great things that God was doing in their life. So in this particular section, the church had just been born. They are it. It's like someone talking about before there was TV. Breaking news, there was a time when there was not TV. And before TV, people would gather around the radio. And I've seen this on movies before where people are seated in the floor, gathered around the radio, and they couldn't rewind it. So it's like, do not talk in the middle of the radio show, or we're going to miss something that's said. They had to listen in so intently. It can be hard for us to imagine this because our experience in the life of the church is that we have been gifted with the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we can go back and go through it and take our time with it. But in this time, as they are hearing these stories and as they are sharing their lives with one another, we have the apostles' teaching. We have time of fellowship together. We have the breaking of bread, and we have prayer. These four things that Luke shares here in Acts. Luke is the author of the book of Acts. That he shares that these are the four things that they are adhering to and holding on to closely as they are growing in the life of the church. So if you could share a parable or a miracle story about Jesus' life, think about it for a second. What might be that story that you would share? And I bet you in this room there would be some overlap, but there'd be a lot of different stories because for each of us, as we hear those things, there might be something that resonates in our heart, a place perhaps where we need healing, a place perhaps where Jesus reached out and touched somebody in such a powerful way and healed them that we long for that in our own lives. Or perhaps we think about something that Jesus did as he was talking to his disciples that informed them and opened up their eyes to a whole new world of what Jesus had in store for them. So in each of those things, this day we find ourselves here in this story, wondering what it was like at the very beginning of the church as they are excited about this, but they don't yet have the text. So they have the teachers who are sharing these stories, stories that they have heard, that they have written on their hearts to be able to communicate with others about the good news of Christ. So it's starting in their study of the apostles' teaching. But not far behind that is the fellowship. One thing that we certainly have been challenged with in this season of COVID is fellowship. We have not had the opportunity to gather together for a long season of time. You are watching from home. Some of you are watching from home now too, and I'm great. We can still bring that to you at home. But if you are able and capable of being here, we would love for you to be here. If there's a medical need and you need to stay home, we absolutely understand. But you cannot beat the fellowship of being together. Am I right about that? You know, for many of us, we've talked about the last time we've seen loved ones in faraway places, and I talked to somebody this morning that said, I've not seen this person in 18 months, and we're going to get to go see them this next week. And I'm like, that's so exciting that you get to go see them. That's amazing, and how happy we can be for that. There's something to be said about spending time together. Even if you're just together in the same room and you're not talking, just that presence together, it's hard to beat. And for a season of time, church took place over in that back corner, right there. Those last three or four rows that are there were all removed from the floor and slid this way, and we had a set that was back there, and it was different. It was very different. I mean, I'm used to telling a joke and hearing you guys roar, and it was silent. What's funny about that? That wasn't a joke. No, but it was silent. We're back there, and we're talking to a camera, and then one week they said, we have two cameras, so when we point here, you have to look there, and I'm like, I didn't sign up to be a news anchor person. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. There were just new things that we were doing, but we were missing that fellowship. And that fellowship is what this early church had. They longed to be together. They wanted to be together to be able to study with one another. They were hungering for God's word. They wanted to learn new things. And perhaps you've experienced that fellowship, that love and support at different times. And for you in your mind, you might be able to wrap around the thought of what is it that made that special for you? Maybe it was one person that reached out and said, how can I pray for you? What do you have going on in your life? Maybe it's somebody who said, I know exactly what you're going through. Maybe it's somebody who just was able to laugh with you about some things that were going on and provide a little bit of perspective that everything was going to be all right. But whatever it is, the importance of fellowship cannot be neglected in this passage. It's at the very core of the importance of what God wants for us to be able to experience in our lives, that connection with each other. And examples of that connection being built, you think about teams perhaps that you've been on. You think about your family and the connection that you have with loved ones. You think about people that you have gone on mission trips with and the connections and bonds that you make over the circumstances that you find yourself in, whether it's on a bus that's not air conditioned or whether it's out in the middle of nowhere and you start singing a random song that becomes the theme song for your trip. Whatever it is, like in those different places and spaces, the fellowship and the camaraderie that's built is one that is lasting and foundational to growth in a community. So mission trips, you think about, you know, before a trip, and I can think about different trips that we've taken to Costa Rica where you show up in the parking lot and everyone's kind of standing around with their hands in their pockets and maybe they have their bags and they're like, okay, they get on the bus. Part of that might be is that that's usually pretty early in the morning that they're departing. But then you play the contrast in your mind of they're getting back from the trip and everyone's hugging each other and they're like, I'll see you next week at our little reunion. The enthusiasm, the excitement that they have of having spent this time and the shared experience of ministering to other people just brings such joy and it bubbles over in who they are. And when we are able to have time with other believers and share in our joys and share in the challenges that we face, we are able to encourage each other and lift each other up in such powerful ways. It can be such a gift. One of the ways that that happens is through small groups. And small groups, Sunday school classes, the opportunity to learn, the opportunity to learn from one another, the opportunity to grow in our faith and our understanding of God's love for us cannot be diminished. It's such an important thing. But this last year, we have really experienced the isolation and the challenge of not being able to do many of those things. And for some of us, we have loved ones at home that are immune compromised, and we've had to be careful for their behalf. And for others of us, we may live alone, and how isolating that has been and how hard that has been. But in that, what we recognize, and I think the lesson that we certainly have all learned, is that we need one another. We need one another. We need that touch. We need that love. We need that care in our lives. And God designed us that way, that we would receive that and be able to love and care for each other in that way. I'm thankful that it feels like it's moving it back in that direction of being able to love and care for one another in that same manner. And I realized just how much I missed it when it was gone. And we need each other, and the early church knew it, how much they needed each other. There was an atmosphere of mutual generosity and sharing. The way that they came alongside one another and saw a need that was present and would step in to provide for one another. I mean, you see that in the passage where people just longed to extend that for one another. And the gift and the reminder for each of us is so important. All the believers were together and they had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. You know, I think about our church and I think about your generosity and the things that we have been generous about, the projects that we have been able to support, the missions that we have been able to sponsor. And it's because of your generosity, your willingness to give, to recognize that it is not just about you, but it is about you, all of you, that we are a part of the body of Christ and are able to do something together that is so much greater than what we can do just by ourselves. And so living into that can be such a great gift. Because it is in giving that we receive. And it is so much fun to see the joy that others experience when we are able to give. It also reminds us of the responsibility that we have for each other. That relationship of fellowship is so important, and we certainly long for that. But it's so important to remember that we belong to one another. It's also true that when something costs something, we're a little bit more invested in it. When we've had classes here at the church that cost something, if someone pays something, even $5, they're more invested in the class. If you pay for the class for them, they're like, well, maybe I'll show up. But if they've paid something, they are far more invested in that. This is true not just for yourselves, but for your kids or other people that you know. I'm sure when they have spent their own money, they take better care of those things. Well, within this fellowship that was present, we see an example of this in the church. In 2 Corinthians 8, we see the church begging for the privilege of participating and contributing. And please let us give financially to this project that you are working on. We want to have joy in being able to give to that. And what a great gift that is. But we have so much to learn from one another. And this community of believers knew that there was so much that they had to learn from each other. The problem is that oftentimes we're not ready to listen. I don't know if you've ever experienced this with a sibling or a spouse where you have something you're ready to tell them and you just start talking and they're not ready to listen. It might be that your wife is watching sports on TV and she's not listening to you when you're talking to her. That never happens at our house. Jen watching sports, if I walked into a room and she was watching sports, I would step back against the wall and be like, okay, who took over your body? But you get the point of what I'm saying in that, the importance of recognizing that we have so much to learn from one another. And oftentimes, we don't listen to each other well. We don't listen to each other well, and yet God has given you others in your life as a gift. And there are opportunities to listen and hear, even though sometimes those things that we hear might not be easy to hear. Those are things that God wants you to know, and God wants you to hear in your life. So cherish those things. Also within this passage, we see the breaking of bread, the table fellowship that is present, eating together, listed as one of the priorities, listed as something that was happening at that time. The apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and prayer. The breaking of bread, table fellowship. There is something special about eating with somebody, of spending time with somebody over a meal. And I think we realized that most when it was taken away from us at the beginning of COVID, where we weren't able to do that. But at a recent session meeting, we gathered together and we were able to have dinner together at different tables. And as we're sitting down together over a meal, it wasn't the content of what we were talking about, but it was just being able to be present. Just being able to be present, to look across in somebody's eyes and see them and be like, it's so good to be with you. Wouldn't matter what we're talking about, but just the opportunity to be together. The gift of that is so real. Laughter over a meal, small talk, time together. It's that investment in relationship. And it's no mistake that that's one of the things that's mentioned here in this passage that they cherished, just being able to be together. Because it's during that time that we share our lives. You know, we may spill food, but we also spill out who we are to one another when we are relaxed, when we're receiving that nourishment, not just of the food, but of the conversation that we have with one another. Because the way God designed his church is not that we would be the church of Jeff and the church of Craig and the church of Jessica, but that we would be his church, the body of Christ. And there are gifts that we each have that he longs for us to share with each other. And so during this past season, there have been times where we have had to be isolated and not experience the gifts that others have to give. And so now as we come back, might we not take for granted those incredible gifts? Might we be people that say to others, I am so thankful for you because of this that you encourage me in my faith. I'm so thankful for you in the way that you lead in music, for the way that you pray in our small group, for the way that you are always sending encouraging notes, whatever those things are. I would encourage you to encourage others for the gift that they are in your life. The breaking of bread together. And then finally, prayer, the gift of being able to pray with each other and for each other. Within this passage, we find a oneness in Christ. And Christ is recognizing that in our allegiance to him, we find a oneness in him. In 1980, the U.S. hockey team was in the Olympics, and they were up against some formidable opponents, the Soviet Union being one. And the story Miracle on Ice, if you've seen the movie, is a great story of this team and the challenge that they had of overcoming, of talented individuals, but they really weren't yet a team, and their coach Herb Brooks challenged them, and there's one scene from the movie where they've just lost an exhibition game, and they're ready to skate off the ice, and they stop him and bring him back out on the ice, and he's like, we're not done here. There's even fans in the stands who are leaving the arena, and he makes the hockey team stay, and he makes them skate lines back and forth. They have to skate to center ice and back, and then they skate all the way to the end and back. Then he blows the whistle and makes them do it again. And again, over and over. And he is worn out by them because they think that they are great individuals, but they're not playing together as a team. They're great individuals, but they're not playing together as a team. And so he makes them skate lines over and over. And then finally, there comes a moment in the movie where he makes them recognize that the name on the front of the jersey is more important than the name on the back of the jersey. Well, they all had their last names on the back of the jersey, and on the front of the jersey, it said USA. And all this time, they had been playing as individuals. They had not been playing as a team. And what this moment in the movie captures is the recognition that they are a part of something greater than themselves. They are a part of something greater than themselves. Now, I know there are times where I am thinking about the name on the back of my jersey and thinking about myself and not thinking about family of God. And perhaps there are times where you find yourself in that same place too, thinking, ooh, okay, I need to remember who I belong to, and that is Christ, and remember the bigger picture. Because in that, at that moment in the movie, the team makes that recognition. And in a Disney kind of way, they pull together and they recognize that though they might not be able to beat the Soviet Union every single time, they only have to beat them this next time. And they are able to pull together in a miraculous way. I don't want to ruin the story though, so I won't tell you anything else that happens. In case you want to watch the movie a little bit later. But when we are living into that, there is that sense of oneness in Christ, that we belong to him, and that he longs to guide and direct our steps so that we will know the depths of the love that he has for us. We are one with him and one with each other as the body of Christ. There is no true fellowship with Christ without Christ's Spirit in us and between us, and he draws us into oneness and loves each of us through each other. Friends, you may be the hands and feet of Christ today to let someone else know that they are loved by God. And they may long to hear and long to know that from you this very day. We need to take time to be together. We need to take time to listen to each other and to care for each other. And we have so much to learn from others. If we aren't around each other, we struggle mightily to do that. Am I right that we have experienced that in this last year, that struggle has been real, how hard it is and how challenging it is when we are not around others who love and care for us? It is a great gift to be up here and to be able to look out and to see your faces and to know your stories and to be grateful for the opportunities of those places where you have let us in as a church on those things, to be able to encourage you, to support you, to love you, to walk with you, to celebrate with you, and all of those things. And God longs for us to be able to come together in that way, to be able to do that. Well, if you have ever had to coach someone or teach somebody, you know it can be hard. Coaching others, there are times you just want to get in the game and make the play for them. Sitting on the sidelines is really hard. And does anybody else have that where you're sitting on the sidelines and you're like, put me in? And then you remember, you're like, oh, sorry, this is kids. I'm not allowed to play in this game. But you're watching it and you're just like, oh, if they would, oh, they're so close, if they would only do this. But the beauty in the picture of the body of Christ is that we are able to encourage other people to take those steps in faith. If we as pastors at Manor Presbyterian Church said, nope, only the pastors are gonna do stuff, none of you are allowed to lift a finger, there might be a roar of applause, but I would quickly cut that off. I would say, no, because while we as pastors might be able to do some great things, how much more can all of you do? When you take steps forward in faith to live out your faith in Christ, to serve others, we can do exponentially more, ridiculously more, if you are willing to do that. And so in those different places and spaces, there are times where we have to work with each other and help those other people to learn and take those baby steps so that they can grow in their understanding of what God has in store for them. Because when we do that, when we give opportunities of service away, there's opportunities for God to do great things. The Habajacks Project is a perfect example of that. You may not be the best at swinging a hammer. You may not have the greatest skills in that area, but there's so many ways to be a part of that project. And when you are a part of that project, whether you have prayed for the family, whether you have prayed for the people that are helping to build each week, whether you have made lunches for that group, when we get to the end of that project, at the conclusion of the summer, we're gonna look back and think, MPC helped do that. Thank you, God, for working in and through all of us in order to make that happen. Whether you're contributing, whether you're swinging a hammer, whether you're passing out drinks, in all of those places and spaces, God is working in powerful, powerful ways to use you. Well, many of you may know, but this past Thursday started the NFL draft. Did anybody watch any of the NFL draft? Wow, everyone raised their hand. Okay, maybe not everyone, but a lot of people raised their hand. It was very exciting because the Jacksonville Jaguars had the opportunity to select the number one pick for the first time in franchise history, and they selected Trevor Lawrence, quarterback, Clemson University. And I mean, right now we're undefeated with Trevor as our quarterback. That's pretty amazing. And the hope is that Trevor is going to get out on the field someday. We didn't want to just draft him and have him on our team for bragging rights. Like, we've got Trevor Lawrence, you don't have Trevor Lawrence. The objective is that he gets out on the field to be able to lead the team so that there can be some victories and that we can return to winning ways of a couple years ago, or maybe a long, long time ago, or whatever your memory is. It feels like it wasn't that long ago that we were in the AFC Championship game, so not that long ago. But in that, it would do no good if we drafted him and never played him or never traded him. Like, we would look at that and think, what a waste. What are we doing? What are we doing? Well, the same is true in our walk with Christ. We have been drafted by God to serve him. So what good is it going to do if we just sit on the sidelines, if we hold a clipboard? What good is that going to do if we do not engage in what God is calling us to do? And it may be that God is calling you to hold a clipboard, but I would also venture to believe that God is calling us to get into the game, because we have a lot to add to this team, the body of Christ. And he wants us to live that out in who we are, to be challenged and stretched in different ways. But what a gift that can be. So friends, we are called to get in the game. So I want you to get in the game and not just stand on the sidelines. We need to move. We need to not be stagnant. Our faith must be active. We can't sit still. And we are in this together. We need to pass this on, and we pass it on into our kids, into our neighbors, into our friends. And as we share the love of Christ with others and we long for them to know his saving grace in their lives, we have the gift of being able to be a part of a larger family and a greater story than our own. And every time we connect to something greater than ourselves and what God is doing, remarkable things happen. We need to not have that tunnel vision of just me, myself, and I, but we need to be able to have our eyes opened to look out to what God has in store for us and is calling us to. We need to pass it on, because we get to be a part of the story, but it is not about us. And verse 47 is the greatest reminder of that. It says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." It didn't say, "And they added to their number those who were being saved." They weren't taking credit for it. They were recognizing that God is the one that's doing this. It can really take the pressure off of you if you think in that frame of mind. If you think in that frame of mind and that understanding of these early Christians, that they realize that God is the one that's doing the work. I just have to show up and share. So the pressure is not on you. The pressure is on God. But we have to make ourselves available to what God is calling for us and leading us into to do. So as we look at this passage today, there is so much here for you and me to look back fondly on at the very beginnings of the church and where they were. And the reason we are here today in this room is because they were not silent about it. They were not bashful, but they lived into the gifting that God gave them, and they shared that with others. And because of that, we know the good news of God's saving grace in our lives today. So let's be people that share that love of Christ. As a body of believers, we can serve alongside one another so that other people will come to know God's saving grace for their lives. Let's pray together. Oh God, we give you thanks for this day and for the love of Christ in our lives. We ask that you would go before us into this next week and beyond, that you would give us eyes to see the places and spaces that you are calling us to, that we can serve there with you. God, we thank you that you do not give us more than we can handle, but we also confess, God, that too often we complain that you have done just that. Help us, God, to have the perspective and recognition that you are the one guiding and directing our steps, and that we do not go into these adventures and challenges alone. Thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for the love of Christ and the grace of Christ in our lives. And help us to share that with everyone we encounter, and sometimes even use words. We ask and pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen.